Abraham or Anthony, anything before I get started? Is there anything you all would like to discuss?
Not really. I think we're doing pretty well on this, so we're all ears.
Well, the work you did on the, and I'll get to it in a minute, but the work you did on that homework that you sent me last week, I think makes some things clear, but let's get to that in a second.
Okay.
Anthony, Cindy thought the scheduling call went well. Do you have any questions about that scheduling tool, or do you feel comfortable with it? I don't want to move on until I make sure you're good.
Yeah, I feel comfortable with it. I think when I start to use it a little bit more, obviously I'll become more comfortable with it. But I kind of toggled around with it, and it seems like it's going to be very useful.
I do have a question about that, Rob.
Go ahead.
So regarding scheduling, as I've told a lot of my clients about Supernova, or rather about our new enhanced level of service that we're committing to doing for them, I had mentioned that it would be a regularly scheduled call that would be scheduled by Anthony with an agenda communicated in advance so they'd be prepared for the call. What I had not mentioned during those phone calls, because I wasn't yet aware of it, was that it would be also a recurring appointment on the same day of every month. How do you say that? Because it's not the same date of every month, but on the same day, I guess, of every month.
I would say it, Abraham, is just say, we're scheduled at the same time every month, and then you go beyond that. Say, Ms. Jones, your time will be the second Tuesday of every month at 10 o'clock.
Right. So when I explained the benefits of this new approach to my clients, I had not mentioned that it would be a recurring appointment on the same time every month. But I had mentioned Anthony would be calling them to get them scheduled. So is that a conversation that I need to circle back to them and say, hey, by the way, just wanted to let you know what to expect? Or do you think that we just have Anthony make the calls and he explains how that works?
I don't – first of all, if there are people you haven't talked with yet, make sure that they understand. This is not a big deal. The hesitation in my life is – in my response is it's not a big deal, so how do we handle it? I think you can – in your first call with these people, you might just one of the things that people do on the first call is kind of reinforce what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I would do it. I don't really think it makes any difference whether you have the conversation or Anthony has a conversation. It's never come up before. So
okay.
which are you more comfortable with? Is the answer?
I think we'll have to go down the list and see who I've already spoken with. Most of the ones are the most agreeable folks in my book anyway, so I think that they're not going to be a big deal anyway. So whether Anthony explains how that works or I call him back over, perhaps over something else and, hey, by the way, I'm not sure I was clear when I explained how these calls are going to work. But I think the key is to make it, like you say, not a big deal and also really make it clear about how this is to give better service and we're really excited about it.
Yeah, the more I think about it, the more I think it's something that you talk about in your first call.
Meaning the first scheduled monthly call?
First scheduled call, yeah.
Okay.
I think call, Abraham, and say, I may not have been clear, just feels a little bit unorganized to me. I think
and like a negative, we're trying to sugarcoat or get by them.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to care. Now, if they do, then I don't think they're going to assume that's the only time that's going to be scheduled. It's monthly. You talked about monthly calls, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just didn't mention schedule. This is no big deal. Just reinforce it when you first talk to them the first time. Ms. Jones, this is our first scheduled call.
Right.
This will be your time every month, and by time I mean it'll be the second Tuesday of every month at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
I would let them bring it up. I don't you said it was monthly, you just didn't say it's scheduled. No big
right.
deal. Let's spend just a second on sending out an agenda.
Yeah.
The Rob Knapp and I teach the same, but there are a couple things that we just view differently. Doesn't make either one of us right or wrong. It's just different. Rob, as you saw in the or will see in the videos, thinks you need to send the client a agenda ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but here's why I prefer not to send out the agenda. First, I don't want them prejudging what you're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You may be talking about something, Abraham, that's really important, but they may not understand the importance. And when they say the agenda, Abraham, we don't need to talk about this. I get this stuff already. So I don't mm-hmm. want your, I don't want to prejudge. Secondly, once you start, you can't stop.
What do you mean? Oh, right. Okay.
Start
sure.
getting that out. You can't stop. So here would be my suggestion. I would not send out the agenda. And let's say it's 9 months from now, and you've got this thing up and running, and you've got, you can do that on a recurring basis. By that, I mean send out the schedule. Then you can always implement it. Ms. Jones, I'm going to start sending out our agenda a week before. Be on the lookout for it. Nothing's changed, except I just want you to see the agenda ahead of time. You can always do that, but it's a lot of work. I mean, it's not a ton of work, but it's just one more thing that you have to do or Antonin has to do to in your daily schedule.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You understand my thought? Rob's is certainly nothing wrong with Rob, what Rob's doing. I think it can be better be done 9 or 10 months from now when you've got everything else taken care of.
That's a fair point.
Okay. All right. Okay. In preparation for this call, I reviewed your reasons for getting involved with Supernova. The two mm-hmm. things that I had written down. You said I want a practice to be proud of. I want to have a practice to be proud of. And then the second thing you said is I want to grow. During these first 4 weeks, we're building the base to develop a repeatable service model that is going to make you more referable. And frankly, we're overbuilding a little bit. We're building something that can support more. It's like overbuilding for putting a bigger foundation down for a building than you really need, because you know there's going to be a time when you're going to put more weight on that foundation. So the work we're doing now, we're not just building this for the people who are in your practice right now, Abraham. We're building this model to support more business in the future.
I can see that.
I have several things I want to cover today. Let me start with the homework, and specifically, let's go to the homework that you sent me on May the 3rd. Can you get that in front of you?
What specifically are you referencing?
That's when I asked you to do your top 50, your top 60, and what percentage of your business that was.
Yeah, absolutely.
You sent me that email at 4:31 on May the 3rd.
All right. Bear with me for just a second. Oh, there it is. Okay.
All right. A couple of questions. You at the bottom, well, let me work back to that. If you look at your client segment 71 through 80,
mm-hmm.
they gave you $14,000, almost 15.
Mm-hmm.
But the 81 through 113 gave you significantly more business. Was there a big trade in there? What causes that?
Well, because there's 34 of them compared to 10.
All right. I get it. Okay. So there's nobody in, you answered my question. All right. Now, you said you can make a strong case for keeping the top 70 plus the 17 butlers. Now, are the butlers in these numbers?
So here's the thing with the butlers is that there are, like, for example, yes, and there are two butlers that are in the top 50. So they're actually worthwhile clients purely on their own, not as butlers. And there's, like, two more that are in the between 51 and 60, and then two more between 61 and 70. So if I'm keeping the top 70, those four butlers I'd automatically be keeping. And then there's only 8 butlers that fall outside of the top 70.
Okay, I'm uncertain on how – I want to make sure we're defining a butler correctly. A butler is someone you keep.
What'd you say?
A butler is somebody you have to keep. You don't really necessarily want to keep them, but you have to keep them because they're attached to a larger relationship. So when you're saying two butlers in the top 50, they're not really butlers. They're regular Supernova clients. Am I right?
That's absolutely right, and I would treat them as such.
Yeah. Okay. So why are you calling those people butlers?
Because they're kids of really good clients. Of even bigger clients.
I get it. If somebody is both a great client and a butler, they're a great client. Forget the butler thing. A butler would be a situation where somebody has an adult child, they got $30,000, and the only reason they're in the practice is because they're attached to the old man. These people that you're talking about as butlers, they would qualify even if they weren't related to a great client, correct?
Yep.
Okay, so they're not. Forget that term as it has to do with those people. So what you're telling me is are you comfortable getting down to 70?
Yes.
Okay, so according to your figures, you get down to 70, that's going to be 93% of your business. You are comfortable or willing to reassign 6.5% of your production.
Sure.
Okay. Good. Now I want to ask you one more question along those lines. You know, you say you're comfortable with 70. The practice doesn't have to be done in multiples of 5. As you look past number 70,
mm-hmm.
Do you have anybody who stands out that you want to include in the practice?
Yeah, because I created a category that I call up or out, which is basically, for example, the guy who comes in right around number 100 who has 100,000 with me, but I did a financial plan for him, and I know he has $1.7 million in the cash in the bank, plus, you know, he has net worth of over investable currently of over $5 million. And he's never worked with an advisor. He gave me $100,000 to kind of test the waters. So for him, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to cut him loose without making a very concerted effort to, like I say, get him up into the role of a real engaged client. Or if I can't do that, then yes, I would be willing to reassign him. Okay. So there are a few people that fall in that category below number 70.
Okay. So what you're going to, again, you have two levels of service. Well, you really have one level of service, and you make an accommodation for true butlers. So everybody who's not a butler receives or is offered Supernova,
mm-hmm.
Supernova service model. So what you've got here is this man with $100,000 is worth $1.7 million.
Call it actually $5 million. I misspoke.
You're going to treat him basically as a prospect.
Okay.
I
did have some questions about that, but go on.
He's going to get 12-4-2 just like your other clients get.
Right.
Either somebody's a butler or they get 12-4-2.
Yeah, I had some questions about that. How you do 12-4-2 for a prospect. Is this, are we going to get into that at some point in the future, or this is my chance to ask it?
Well, the floor is always yours. Let's talk about that. Here's what's happened to you during your career from time to time. You've got a prospect, you've talked to him, you've made some good suggestions, and you're sitting, I haven't talked to this man in 2 months. I need to call him back. What am I going to talk about? Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, happens to everybody. So here's what you say to this man. you're not going to say anything except you're going to offer him your new the enhanced service model. But for a prospect, you've had some conversations with the prospect, things are going well, and you say, you know, I've talked to you about my service model. I talk to my clients on a monthly scheduled basis. I would love to put you on my schedule so you can live my practice before you become part of my practice.
Okay.
Now, one of two things is going to happen. He's going to say yes. And if you're talking to him on a monthly scheduled basis, I would say your chance of landing him go up significantly. The other is if he says to himself, it says to you, I don't really need that monthly contact. At least he knows you're not BSing him.
Mm-hmm. So what do we talk about when I call the guy? You know, he's not a client. His accounts aren't here. I mean, what do we talk about?
These are all good questions. Every month you will have a topic.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you talk to your clients, you've got four quarterly reviews, but then you've got 8 months where you're not doing a review. You have to have a topic. I will show you how to have a topic every month. It's not a sales call. I'll just give you a simple example. Do you have a liability umbrella policy personally?
No.
You know what it is?
Sure.
Yeah. Most of your wealthy clients and a lot of your clients have umbrella policies. It's the cheapest insurance you can have. Once you get to a certain level with regular insurance, then you can throw an umbrella over everything, your car, your home, everything. And it's relatively cheap insurance. I think, Abraham, I carry $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between the upper limits of my normal policy and the umbrella, to get to $4 million, I think it costs me $250 a year.
Right.
So, and I have property. I have people on my property, driving tractors and things. If they get hurt, I don't think they would sue me, but I feel a lot better having $4 million worth of coverage than $500,000. So I'm giving.
Right, I understand it.
So you call your client, you're talking to your clients, and you say, I'd just like to spend a few minutes talking about a liability umbrella. Do you have an umbrella policy? And they say, well, yes, Abraham, I do. Well, I just want to make sure that you have one and it's appropriate for you. In today's litigious society, I really am comfortable with my clients having that type of protection. It'd be a lot smoother than what I just said, but you'll have a topic. And if a client says, yeah, I've got one of those, you don't lose any credibility because you're talking to the client about something that really doesn't affect your compensation. But, you know, a big part of your brand is what you do for clients that you don't get directly compensated.
Right. I got that.
If a client says, no, I don't have one of those, then you may have had that most significant conversation you'll ever have with them if an event should occur. So
okay.
You asked me a simple question, and we're getting out ahead of ourselves here, but you will always have something to talk about. These non-review calls cannot become just touch calls because you don't feel good about it. The client doesn't see any value. And pretty soon they're going to say, well, let's go to the quarterly reviews or whatever. You always have to have a topic. That's what you're offering your prospect. And on a quarterly basis, you can say some of your prospects, they've given you their portfolio to look at. That's happened to you. Maybe you review their portfolio on a quarterly basis with them. Or you give them a market update quarterly. One thing I'm pretty sure of, Abraham, if you're talking to a prospect 12 times a year, you're giving them better service than their present advisor gives them.
Clearly. Do you guys have a list of topics for phone calls for clients and prospects?
We'll get there. But what I'll also teach you is how to come up with them on your own.
Okay, great.
because you can't go be talking about those things. We got a list, but you can't be talking about those same things, you know, year after year. They have to be they have to be freshened up. Okay, so you're gonna get your practice down to 70 plus butlers, plus people who, like the gentleman you talked about, who's got $100,000 with you.
Yeah, but that's like three people, so that I'm gonna sift through those pretty quickly and get them to a decision point.
Okay, all right, that's fair. You know, one of the things that saps an advisor's energy is to have a prospect you keep talking and they keep taking your calls, but they never do anything.
It just
eats your energy. And I'll talk to you about a way to have a fill or kill conversation with a prospect that's very, very professional. Puts the burden on you, not on why they're not doing business with you. I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to come back to that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. From last week's call or the previous 2 weeks, here's the bet you're making when you go down to your 70 plus clients and butlers, and you're talking about 6% of your production. The bet you're making is that the free time that you're creating, you're going to be able to use to significantly grow the practice. I mean, that's pure and simple. That's the bet. I mean, you're going to have a practice you can be proud of, but unless you use that time to grow, you're not going to get the full value of reducing the size of the practice.
All right.
Now, let's talk about an ideal day. When Antonin starts scheduling for you, he's got to know how you want to be scheduled. Let's just use the number 70.
Let me ask you a quick question. Should we have begun scheduling these monthly calls already?
No. You're good. I love your enthusiasm. I'm going to ask you to let me lead you through this. Not that I, you know, it's got to be my way. It's just I don't want, like, for example, talking to clients about the sending out the agendas.
Right, right.
If I'd have had that conversation, if we'd had that conversation earlier or you had waited, you wouldn't have, it's not a big deal, but it's just, I love your enthusiasm. These are major refinements you're making. I want them done correctly. So let's, if you could, I'll always answer your questions, but I want to lead you through it. Okay.
Okay. Great.
Okay. But the answer to your question is no.
Okay.
What do you want your, if you had, let's just use 80 because the math is simple. If you had 80 clients.
Mm-hmm.
That is 4 calls a day.
Okay.
We only schedule 20 days. 4 times 20 is 80.
Mm-hmm.
So what? Then you could say to Antonin, I want to, instead of doing 5 days of 4, I want to do 4 days of 5. So you have one day. Or you may say, Antonin, I want my schedule. I don't want to be scheduled on Friday. I'm making this up, and I want my day to begin. I want my first call to be no earlier than 8 o'clock, and I want my last call to be over by 4. Again, I'm painting a picture here for you. Now,
Dan
knows how you want to be scheduled. So, as you think about what you want your day to look like. Now, you've got 70 calls. So if you had 60, that would be 3 calls a day. If you had 80, that would be 4 calls a day. So you've got somewhere between 3 and 4 calls a day.
Right.
So what do you want that to look like? Now, you don't have to tell me now. You're going to have to make that decision fairly quickly by next week. But do you know how you want to be scheduled?
Yeah, I do, and I've already communicated with him not to schedule me prior to lunch on Monday morning or after lunch on Friday afternoon.
Okay, so the ideal day, no earlier than noon on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And no later, you want to be finished by noon on Friday, or the last call is at noon?
I frequently travel most weekends from Miami up to Boynton Beach, which is about an hour and a half north. So what I've done is I've requested that Anthony leave those times available for scheduling face-to-face meetings, either Monday mornings or Friday afternoons, for clients who live somewhere between Miami and Boynton, so that I can hit them in a face-to-face meeting either on the way up there or on the way Monday morning on the way back to town.
Okay, but just to be clear, on Friday, you said do you want your last call to be ending at noon, or do you want the last call to be beginning at noon?
Ending by 2 o'clock. I need to get on the road by 2.
Okay. I'm writing down on Friday. Okay. Now, Anthony, do you have any questions of Abraham about his schedule?
No. I have access to his calendar as well, so you know, anything that he has in between I can kind of work around. So, not too concerned with that.
Okay. Now, I want to point something else out to both of you. Let's look. Can you get this month's calendar in front of you? You know, just on your Outlook or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Bear with me for just a second. Oh, I got to go to calendar. Okay, we're looking at it.
Okay. We only schedule 20 days a month.
Right.
First, second, third, fourth. So if you have a month that's got 5 Mondays in it or 5 whatever, you know those are going to be free days. So if you look at May, do you see that there are 5 Mondays and 5 Tuesdays?
I do, and I do see that.
So you can any month where there are 5 of something, you're not going to be scheduled Supernova wise on those days. So let's say I want you to see the whole thing. If you were thinking about going on vacation, I'm just, again, want you to run your calendar just like your doctor does, and you've got some flexibility and you want to go in May, taking the week of the 30th would require less scheduling than if you took the week of the 23rd. Do you see me?
Yeah, I get that. Of course. Sure.
Okay. So, again, I'm going to teach Anton in a very simple way to reschedule. Not a big deal, but I want you all to see that you are going to have months. I mean, if you look at June, you're going to have the 29th and 30th again are going to be, you know, you're not going to have anything supernova scheduled on there unless somebody wants to reschedule and you decide to stick them into those slots.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. The people who you're not keeping in the practice, are they going to the center?
Some are. Some are just being reassigned.
Okay. All right. All right.
So I have a question. Yeah. I have a question about the scheduling, Rob.
Go ahead.
So as I understand it, each person gets a one-hour slot, correct?
Correct.
And the expectation is typically the call isn't going to take an hour, but we block off the hour for them nonetheless, right?
Yes.
So what happens if, let's say, on Thursday, the third Thursday, I've got a 9, a 10, and 11, and then what do I do when that person's review, their quarterly review, comes up? My understanding is that meeting would occur during that slot, correct?
Yes.
And what about a lot of meetings I take out of the office?
I mean,
over the years I've gotten in the habit, or for whatever reason, I go out to this guy's office, or, you know, that person's home, or whatever the case may be. Is the expectation everybody comes in to see me?
I don't know if the expectation is the right word. The all the assumptions are based on that, and frankly, it's I don't have to tell you this. It's much more efficient for you if they come to see you. But let's answer the question. How many people do you think you go out and see?
I mean, it's hard to put a number on it, but, you know, probably, I mean, at least a third of my clients, we've gotten in the habit of me going to meet with them.
All right. And how many times do you think you see them during the year? You actually go out and see them?
Once or twice.
Okay. Well, here, you know what Supernova is. Supernova quarterly, monthly schedule contact. Four quarterly reviews, and two of those are face-to-face.
Okay.
So for you now, it isn't, you know, one or two. It's two. Now, it's the bottom of the hour. You got a little more time?
I do, and I understand now one of the answers to my questions is the quarterly review doesn't have to be face-to-face every time.
Well, let me... It's important that people hear your brand and it be a sincere brand.
Mm-hmm.
There may be times that your client might say it's more efficient for them to do it over the phone than for you to come out and see them. I mean, you've got to be flexible within your structure. So if you've got somebody that you have to – let's do this. I want you to write down on your – On a piece of paper, I want you to write down 9 to 10, 9-10. These are times.
Okay.
10-11 and 11-12. So we're talking about 3 hours of scheduled time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember that two-thirds of your calls are going to be non-review calls.
Right.
They're going to take... You got to always leave an hour because some of the calls, the quarterly reviews, are going to take an hour. So for a person to have the same time every month, you've got to keep that hour open. So you can, but two-thirds of your calls are going to be non-review calls. They're going to take 5, 10, 15 minutes maybe, unless the client has something that they want to talk about, and that's usually a good thing.
Right.
So if you look at those three blocks of time, it's going to look like you're scheduled for 3 hours, when in reality you're scheduled for about an hour and a half max.
Mm-hmm.
You got it? On average, two-thirds of those calls are going to be 5-10-minute calls. So you've got a lot of flexibility within the schedule. Do you guys see that?
Yeah, sure.
So while it looks like your whole morning could be scheduled, you got an hour and a half to return calls, make outgoing calls, whatever. So with you at 70 clients roughly, you don't have to put these things back to back. You could put typically how long does it take you to get to a client's office or wherever you're meeting them?
You know, I mean, I'm sure they're, you know, it varies obviously, but, you know, I mean, one person is about 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes away. You know, one person, I typically meet him and his mother at her house, but that occurs usually, always at night in the evenings.
Yeah.
So obviously that's not going to throw the schedule off. Do you recommend to continue accommodating those types of meetings where, you know, you've been, like, they're people I tend to meet with after work because, you know, husband and wife both work and it's hard to get them together at one time?
How big a client are they?
2.5 million.
Do you enjoy them?
Yeah, they're great. They're one of my best clients.
Then I would accommodate them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A lot of things that have worked for you, Abraham, over the years have been because you've applied common sense.
Mm-hmm.
to me, that's just common sense. If they were $250,000 clients and they were a pain in the ear, then I'd probably not accommodate them, because you know what? You're a lawyer or a dentist or a doctor wouldn't accommodate them either.
Right. What about the busy professional who is a lawyer or a doctor or whatever and doesn't want to or feels like he can't devote an hour of his month to me because, you know, he's in surgery or whatever the case may be?
Well, here's what you have to do, and I think this is going to be this is going to be where we need to not end this call, but in this discussion, we got to get your schedule set, and then we got to figure out the outliers.
Okay.
So if you call that doctor, I want that. I had a lot of physicians as a producer. I'll never forget this one doctor. He said, well, here's the number, and this is before cell phones. He said, this is the number in the operating room. I think his name was Steve Kumar. I said, Steve, I can't call you in the operating room. He said, yeah, it's okay. Don't worry about it. So, the doctor has to hear that what you offer. If it doesn't fit, then you're going to have to figure out something that doesn't ruin your schedule, but is accommodative to him.
Okay.
Maybe you schedule that doctor your last call each day.
Right.
And so you have the flexibility for the rest of the day or, you know, a little bit later in your day. Maybe you schedule your day, you know, you're not, and again, if you, I'm just painting an idea of what you could do. If you had 60 households, you could only work, you could do 3 days of five. Maybe you would leave one day open for situations like this where you can do one-offs.
That makes good sense.
But what I think you got to do is you got to get the core of this thing put together, and then if you have to make adjustments, then make adjustments for that. Don't make your schedule based on adjustments. You've got to have a core.
That sounds reasonable. So what do you want us to focus on this week?
Well, do you still have a few more minutes?
Yes.
Okay. So what here's, let me get my notes in front of me. The next thing I was going to talk to you about is your script.
Okay.
Tell me what you're talking about with clients. You can, I don't know if you have it in bullet form or if you have it just written out paragraph form. What's it sound like?
Well, I'll tell you, Rob, I'm excited to share with you, as you've been a long-time client of mine, I'm excited to share with you some of the efforts I'm doing to really enhance the level of service that myself and my team are providing to my best clients, such as yourself. And it's been an ongoing process. We're very excited about it, and we're already getting some really dynamite feedback on it. We've worked with a consultant who's really helped us to streamline and put in a system to make sure that we're giving world-class service to our clients. And part of that process involves me really thinking and sitting down and figuring out exactly who it is I can most be effective to. And that included some quantitative screens as well as some qualitative screens, one of which is, you know, simply, do we have a good relationship? And I'm delighted to say that, Rob, you and others such as yourself are exactly who I'm looking to work with and really take up the level of service another notch. So what this service, and part of that also involved letting go of some folks who really it wasn't a good fit, or they were sapping my time or energy from giving the best possible service to people such as yourself. And in a brief nutshell, it's simply a system to make sure that nothing slips through the cracks. It looks like a financial plan that is multi-generational and fully implemented through a system of recurring monthly phone calls and conversations, as well as a quarterly review, two of which will be in person. How does that sound to you?
That's a lot.
Oh, and I forgot full implement rapid response to client questions and concerns.
Okay, you've got everything. You've got everything there. I want you to talk a little bit more slowly.
And I know I was rushing because I know we're at the end of our call.
Yeah, well, I'm good. I'll let you know. I want to be conscious of your time, but I'll be conscious of mine too. Don't worry about mine. My next one's at the top of the hour. This isn't a system that you're putting in place for your best clients.
Mm-hmm.
This is a system that you're putting into place in your practice.
Right. I got that.
Period. Mm-hmm. Here's the way I would say it. Now, again, Abraham, you talk differently from how I talk. Everybody has just a little different way they talk. So the best script is my thoughts in your words. But here are my words. I'm working with an outside consultant to make some refinements to my practice.
Mm-hmm.
He's made some suggestions that I'm really excited about implementing. You have a minute for me to tell you what that's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
What I felt is you launched right into it. I know you're hurrying, and I appreciate you being conscious
right.
of mine. But it was to me, it felt like one long sentence, and I knew what you were saying. I understood what you were
it
saying.
It was. Yeah, that's a good point. You're absolutely right.
Do you have a minute for me to tell you about it? Well, sure. I'd like to hear what's going on. Well, here's the big picture. I have significantly reduced the number of people in my practice. I've also established a minimum for new business. I've done that for a couple of reasons. Number one, I can't let the growth of my practice compromise the service I'm giving to my existing clients. I've established a minimum to control the size of my practice. I'm doing that so I can continue to offer a high level of service and have the capacity to add people like you.
I like that.
I do too. Here is the core of what this will look like. First of all, I'm offering monthly scheduled contact. Of those 12 contacts, 4 are quarterly reviews, and 2 of those are face-to-face. The second part is we will be offering rapid response to any questions or problems, requests that you have
mm-hmm.
with a 24-hour resolution standard. And finally, I'll be offering multi-generational and fully implemented planning.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any questions?
That's great. I like that a lot.
Well, it's almost like I've said it before, isn't it? and here it gets into that progression we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, aren't you doing those things already? Well, Ms. Jones, I am. I'm putting some structure into my practice so I never disappoint you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think I want to do those monthly calls. Well, I understand that. It is a change. I think it's important. Could we try it for 3 months? And if it still feels like too much, we'll dial it back. Okay, I'll do that. Or they could say, no, I just know myself. I just don't want to do monthly scheduled calls. I don't think I need it. Well, can we go ahead and schedule the quarterly reviews and get them on the calendar? Sure. I'd be
right.
happy to. See, that's the progression.
And I got it.
The way you close it is you said, I'm going to begin these calls in June, My associate Antonin is going to be calling you and scheduling the time that works best for you.
Yeah.
Terrific. All right. So, again, I love your enthusiasm. I'm not just BSing you here. I love your enthusiasm. You're excited. You talk in a hurry. Slow it down. Make sure you're hitting the points. Paint the big picture. Ask for permission. Do you have a minute for me to tell you about it? Sure. Be happy to. I'd love to hear it. Well, this is what it's. I've made some significant refinements. Significantly reduced the size of my practice. I can't let the growth of my practice compromise the service I'm giving to my existing clients. Part of controlling the capacity, I've established a minimum for new business.
Hold on just a second. I'm writing this down. Ask for permission, mention making refinements, outside consultant.
Yep.
Do you have this script, Rob? Because this is dynamite.
I don't have that script, but
okay.
What you do is go back in to the link you'll get later today.
Yeah, I'll listen to the replay.
You can listen to it and you can pause it.
Okay, great.
But again, slowly, big picture, I've made mm-hmm. significant refinements to my practice. Do you have a second for me to tell you about them? I mean, if you've got Miss Jones waiting at the airport to pick up her husband and you're having this conversation, she ain't going to listen.
Right.
Most people will say yes. You ask for permission. This is what it's going to look like. First of all, I've significantly reduced the size of my practice. What you said mm-hmm. to me is what we want to do here is focus on what you're keeping. The reason I've
right.
done that is so I can offer this enhanced service model.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things you're working in there. Permission, this is what it's going to look like. Monthly scheduled calls, four of those are going to be quarterly reviews, two face-to-face. Talk slowly. Think about bullet points instead of paragraphs. Secondly,
right.
Rapid response to any questions, requests that you might have with a 24-hour resolution standard. And then finally, multi-generational and fully implemented planning.
Okay.
The reason I can deliver that is because, as I said a minute ago, I have significantly reduced the number of people in my practice.
And so you don't lead with the multi-generational financial planning fully implemented. You leave it towards the end?
I think about our service model in the same order every time. Monthly schedule contact, rapid response, and multi-generational fully implemented planning. That's just the way I think. In a business where service is not very good and clients and FAs don't do a good job of calling clients, mm-hmm. I want to lead with monthly scheduled calls.
Okay.
That's quantifiable. The others
yep.
are not. I mean, they all are ultimately, but that's the way it flows for me.
Right. I gotcha.
Antonin?
Yep.
Did you sense the same thing I did, that Abraham was talking pretty fast and it was kind of one long sentence?
I think it was just the whole role-playing aspect. You know, I've heard him deliver the speech in front of clients real time, and yeah, it sounds a little different than that. So,
okay, good. Well, here's...
I like the bullet points that you gave out and, the pace that you had as well, so...
What yeah. I would do, Abraham... is I would practice that script a couple of times with Antonin, and Antonin's job is to give you his honest feedback.
Okay.
But, slowing down, asking for permission, making sure that you're telling people that you've significantly reduced the size of your practice and why. You've established
mm-hmm.
a minimum. That's part of controlling the capacity. And making sure that you've gone through the three parts of the core of the service model. I think that's what the most effective thing is going to be.
Got it.
I do have to go now. I've got to make notes on this call because if I let two or three calls go by and then go try to go back and do it, it all runs together.
Gotcha. Okay, well, thanks again. I appreciate it.
All right. You got my phone number, don't you?
Yep.
You got any questions during the week, call me.
Terrific. Thanks a lot, Rob.
Take care.
All right, guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye.